Ladies, we've got some unfiltered, unprofessional advice that we would like to give you that you can follow throughout the year.
And you took your glasses off, too.
I did.
Like, you look smart.
Thank you. I try. I hold books. First up, we've got dating advice for our millennials and Gen Zers.
You smart young, what, millennial, young millennials, Gen Zers, what the girls do now when they go through a breakup is they travel. They travel.
Is that right?
They go, yes. One of my friends has a daughter. I think she's 26.
They don't stalk the person? What kind of garbage is that? That's the only thing I knew how to do.
She breaks up with her boyfriend. They've been together for a long time.
How old is this person you're talking about?
She's like 26, 27, I think, okay?
Oh, man.
They break up. Her girlfriends are like, all right, girl, we're going to Greece.
Stop.
No, so they go on this like...
Did they work at Applebee's? Because... That's kind of where I was at 20. Are these professionals?
These girls, here's what we did back in the day is you broke up with your boyfriend. He breaks up with you. What you do is you take out the trash and you fuck somebody gross. You're like, you like really downgrade you. Oh, you just for a while.
You try to like, you guys, without social media, without.
It's harder.
Your social media, you would try to show up to where they were going to be and look super hot. So they were bummed that you weren't with them.
And then they wouldn't be there.
Any dirtbag.
Any dirtbag would give you attention. And you'd be like, well, he's going to real estate school. I think this guy could be.
He hasn't even started real estate school. And you're like, just look like her.
The week later, you're like, I regret everything.
I'd be like, well, I have to drive by his house 18 times in the next 30 minutes. That's reasonable.
So you young ones, you travel. It is a better way. You younger ladies, honestly, have it together.
I don't know. I'm going to say something.
Okay.
I think some mistakes need to be made.
Oh, you're encouraging
this. I think there's a lot of our ladies that are in the room. They're smart and ambitious and cool and together. And I know that this younger generation is definitely in that space. But I'm like, you got to get really drunk and like...
Make mistakes.
That's easier to explain it if you're
that's
hammered.
That's what we did super hard we partied a lot
well,
and made mistakes
we're Gen Xers,
very hard.
So there was a lot of like sleep. Who needs that? Like, what's wellness? I don't think I ever heard what wellness was.
We didn't drink water. There was no going to the gym.
If I went to the gym, it was to be hot. It was never because I was like, you know what? In my later years, I'm going to be happy to have this bone density.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to get slim and trim so my ex-boyfriend can see me in a bikini and fucking rue the day that he did not pay attention to me.
Here's what these younger, intelligent people are doing. There's all these studies now. They have less random sex with people.
I don't know that I think that's good.
Please tell me every single...
Put the snow tires on, you know what I mean?
They're not all winners.
In your 30s, if you are not in a... committed relationship, I'm telling you,
you should travel and go get some Grecian dick. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, shit.
Or Grecian.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever you're into.
All I'm saying is in your 30s as a woman, you kind of have your own self figured out a little bit. You know what you like.
Yeah.
You know how it works. I'm obviously not just talking about sex. It maybe you're like, I don't like cilantro. I don't want cilantro. Or maybe you're like, I don't like it like that. I like it like this. You're a little bit more assertive.
Right.
I think the world is your oyster in your 30s, man. I think like,
it's
travel.
It's the perfect age.
Do the thing. Be brave. Have adventures. Because like the world is there to tell you, well, you're supposed to be doing this at this time. And you're supposed to be doing that at that time. I say travel. Have love affairs. Eat, pray, love, baby. That's what I say.
I mean, what would you do differently? Because part of me is like, the person I am now. Like if I were dating right now and I was on a date and I found a guy attractive, I'd be like, I need a scorecard here. You need to tell me like, what's your success rate when it comes to the female orgasm, right?
Oh yeah. Here's what I would have done. I would have told my young self that there is a world where you can have a relationship and that person is going to add to your life, not expect you to bend to be like them. I think what I had been seeing from my friends is that every time they got a boyfriend, they changed.
Right.
I didn't see the guy changing. And so in my head, I translated that like, if you have a boyfriend, they're going to take you off of your direction. They're going to stomp your ambition. They're not going to like that you have your own creativity, that you have your own drive. And I don't think I was wrong. I think I felt very competitive. Like, I just wanted to like, I could not wait to get out of Nebraska and move to LA. I was like so excited and thrilled to be like going to where they make the movies. Like that was literally all I wanted. But I think that LA is really fun and there were a lot of parties and I think I partied a little too long.
This is what I would love to tell my younger self. And while there's younger people here, you can ignore me and roll your eyes because I am so used to it because I have...
We have kids.
Tweens. And even if I say something super relevant, you know, like...
They don't care.
Yeah, like point out a scientific fact like gravity. They're like,
they
I doubt it, Mom.
Don't care.
I totally
like gravity
doubt
sounds
it.
Like yeah. You made up right there. Sure. Is that even a word?
Yeah, I'm used to that. But I would tell myself because I had a birthday... Last week, I was thinking about it. When I go to make a birthday wish, the only thing I pray for is the health of my family because I have gotten everything I wished for.
I've got a few things I haven't.
I really have. And there was no way 15, 20 years ago that I would have believed in any way that that were true.
Can you cut me a break with your bullshit right
what
now?
What do you mean?
You are telling me right now that you have everything you would ever want right now. You are being ridiculous.
How dare you?
Like, we don't have Chanel bags.
Oh.
We don't have.
Hold up. I didn't know we're talking about that kind of stuff. If we're talking about
Jen's
that.
Like, if I never got anything ever again, I'd be happy. And I'm like, I wouldn't. There's shit I want on the list. I want a giant fucking diamond.
I didn't know we were going that shallow.
I want
shallow,
a fucking necklace. I want an eternity necklace with diamonds
yeah.
on it.
I want all of that stuff. But do I feel like that's going to make or break my happiness?
Yes.
No. Wow. I mean, aside from like things that you can buy, I had all my stuff. That was the stuff I worried about.
Yeah.
I was never really worried about like, am I going to like make money, have the house I want? I was like, am I going to have the life I want? Like, am I going to have the family I want, the friends that I want, the partner that I want and stuff like that? I have gotten it all.
I think younger people today, I think it's easier to sort of like get in on your laptop or your phone and sort of think you're experiencing life when in fact you are not experiencing life. And so to me, I feel like the getting out in there is so important. That's why I love to hear that girls are traveling. I think that's so formative.
Yeah.
It's so, by the way, anybody that travels comes back and they're fucking hot. You know what I mean? Like you've got this, like you don't give a shit. I've just seen the ocean on the other side of the planet. Like you,
well,
it's fucking cool. When people have traveled,
yes.
They're fucking cool.
What this would be my counterpoint. You saying that connectivity was easier. Like when we were like dating and trying to like meet dudes and
stuff.
Oh,
no, I didn't say that. Here's the thing. Everybody would go out into the wild, right?
Yeah.
Like it was a known thing. If you wanted to meet a girl or meet a dude, you would go to a bar. That was just a place that you went. So it was popping with people looking for, you know, their mate, right?
Yeah.
Now it's dating apps. And I would just like you to know, I would have had brunch, lunch, dinner covered. I would have been like, it's good. I'm so lucky.
I think it was harder and where every generation is going to say, oh, we had it harder. So young people listening, there used to be this thing that was attached to the wall in your house and it was your only communication device and it was called a telephone.
Telephone.
So if you called your friend Kristen to see if she wanted to go out to the bar to meet dudes or just friends, whatever, if she was getting her mail and missed that phone call, there's no night happening for you, okay?
If you don't like, call back, if you think she's not, like...
If she didn't invest in an answering machine, she probably didn't because she spent a lot of money at the bar. She didn't have that kind of cash, the 14 bucks, whatever it is. And if you missed your friends, you couldn't hook up with them at a bar. Your only gauge for where you were at life was very, like, insular.
It was.
So I lived in Nebraska in my early 20s. And all of my friends were like married and having kids.
That would have been really hard.
So it was really hard. Like now with social media, you can see somebody who is just like you across the world, across the country, living a very happy life, traveling with friends and stuff. I never saw that. I never heard about it. There was Sex in the City. So there was this idea maybe that you could like have that life and be happy, but it wasn't normalized at all. It was like, oh, that's for super wealthy people who live in another place.
Definitely. I definitely felt like if I would have been living in Nebraska after I graduated from college and didn't move out to LA, I would have felt enormous pressure to conform.
Yeah.
If you are 25, 26 and you're single in a place where everybody partners up, that would suck.
It does. It made me feel bad about myself. This is just me. I might be a late bloomer and I'm a little slow on the uptake. I don't think I was who I was going to be until I was 30. And
oh my
I think
God.
Anybody that I like met before then, it wouldn't have matched up that well anyways.
Yeah, I was, like, relationship wise. I think it's fair to assume I was fairly immature in my 20s. I didn't care about anything.
No, I was, I know. Like, I think that's normal.
I cared if, like, if I'm attracted to you and we're playing sand volleyball and we have too many beers and we end up making out, that's a great story to tell. Like, yeah. To me, that's like a win. That's a fun. And then I had such fun girlfriends. And
yeah.
We spent all of our time together. And it was like just this posse of people going out. And it was like we owned the place. It was so fun. But it was also 100% me drinking a lot and having way too much fun. And then being told, you need to get your shit together because you're not getting any younger. Next up, get your colons checked.
You know what's sexy? Being healthy and alive to live
and
your life.
You got a shiny colon. I think we're all just feeling a little old right now.
I think at 25, I wish I would have known this stuff. So that's why I'm going to force Kristen to talk about it. And also because she's getting hers.
What do you mean force me to talk about it? Force me to talk about getting my colon?
Yeah,
my
getting your colon checked. The old little 1-2 wet, number 2 shoot. Yeah. Yep.
I was very proud of Jenny for doing a really, really fucking funny video about her colonoscopy that is so real and so awesome. And I literally think when you can make something like that funny, people are more inclined to actually go do the thing. And colonoscopies are the easiest way to detect and to literally get rid of the thing that causes cancer in your colon.
Right.
So they go in and they lance them off. So it is something we should all be doing.
Yeah.
And I do mine in 2 weeks, but I was really proud of Jenny. It was not easy. And so we're going to hear all about it.
It's not easy. And both of us have been kicking that can down the road. You're supposed to do
me
it
more.
45.
Hey.
So you are. That's when they recommend it. And then if you get the all clear, you'll just do it every 10 years. So this is what I learned. This is the most important thing that I learned. I have a great doctor is it?
Endobotologist?
I thought it was a proctologist, y'all. It's not.
It's a GI doctor.
It's
right?
A GI doctor. So he was great. We did the Zoom and he was so.
You did a Zoom colonoscopy?
Nope. We did a Zoom to make sure I knew what to do, that I was a good candidate to do it, that I needed to have it done.
I haven't
all
done
that
Zoom yet. They were just like, here's a thing at CVS, it came out in looks like a grocery bag of supplies that are going to make me blow butt.
Well, that was part two of mine. I don't know. But this was the important part, was that he said, what we do is we go in and we look for polyps. Because if you don't have polyps, you can't get colon cancer. That to me is like, as somebody who's type A, wants to control, likes to worry, what you're doing is just eliminating a thing you can worry about if you don't have them. Because...
And you were...
Yeah. Because I would like to show you, Kristen.
Oh, God.
What they gave me.
Oh, my God.
They gave me. What? Am I not allowed to show? Look,
I should have been able to accept. You should have said, please.
I have 11
the images
photos
you're gonna see
of my colon
Jesus
here.
Jesus Christ.
But I'll tell you what.
We're too close.
They don't. There's no frame of reference for them because you can't tell. Like, I could tell you that's my esophagus and you'd have no idea because it's nice and clean, which I'll tell you how that happens.
It has a tattoo.
Yeah.
So the Padre Island 97.
They make sure you don't have polyps. While they're in there, if you have some, they'll take them off. If they're too extensive, then they'll schedule a time to get them all off and they will
biopsy
them.
Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm not a medical professional. This is a beautiful colon.
Thank you. That's what I thought too. There's not a lot of things I belong in like a photography book for, but maybe my colon could be in
your
like
your colon could be a model.
Yeah.
It's a good colon. So they give you a kit to like clean you out. Talk about that.
I did it and you were supposed to take the kit with your poop sample on it and drop it off at a lab.
She did that wrong. She sent her poop to the
I sent it
wrong
through
people.
The mail. Yeah. So
to
I
some
get
Joe that's going to be
somebody who opens the mail at one of those places is going to be like, "What the actual fuck? Who is this dumb?" But I didn't know. So what you've done is you've ruined your stool sample. They can't do anything with it at that point. Like it looks like a one of those like spoolie things that you use to brush your eyelashes or put your mascara
so
on.
Sexy.
It looks like that. And then you're supposed to get a poop sample on
Good
it,
God,
stick
ma'am.
It in the tube and send it in. And so I did it wrong. And my doctor was like, we're not even going to try with you anymore. We're going to send you straight to colonoscopy. So they were like, do not pass. Go directly to the poop.
Where did you
doctor.
Send the poop? Okay. To like City National Bank?
Somebody at LabCorp who's just going through resumes or something like that is like, what's this?
They think it's like a hate crime because you didn't get a job as a teller.
They had like, all my information, including my social security number on it.
This is like leaving a steamer. What is it when you leave a bag of poop on burning on a front step?
Oh, yeah.
And then they
basically I did yeah, that. Yeah, I didn't set it. I'm having wine because you got to do a big cleanse. So I've gone days without wine and I'm due.
So you get all this powder. Talk about the Miralax and the mixture.
Okay. You have to do a cleanse because they want your colon not only to not have poop in it, but be clean. You've got to flush it out. You've got water has got to go through your colon.
There's something about that sounds very good.
Yes.
Everybody says you feel squeaky clean and you get a good nap.
Yes. So there are a lot of benefits to it. And I just want to say, like childbirth, it is not as hard as childbirth, but everybody has a very different experience with
it.
First of all, what was really brutal was I knew I was going in. My appointment was at 10:30 the next day. So I check my documentation at 10:34 and it's like, you got to fast the next 24 hours. And I hadn't had breakfast. So I'm done. I overfasted and I'm thinking, well, that's gotta be, everything has gotta be mostly out at that point.
That's
right.
That's even better.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't out at all. Okay. So then I haven't eaten. I'm really busy. So it says start at 4 o'clock taking Dulcolax. You're supposed to take.
Oh God.
My instructions were two Dulcolax.
Oh boy.
But
it's stool softener.
Stool softener. And then you're going to drink 32 ounces of Miralax.
Let me explain to you what that looks like. Jen drank a pitcher
of Miralax.
That is so much Miralax.
And I added.
You?
Oh my God.
Probably shit like a Christmas goose.
I did not, Kristen. So then
you did it?
You do that at 5 o'clock. So starting at five, then an hour later, you do 8 ounces of Miralax, 8 ounces of Miralax every 15 minutes. Okay.
I kind of want to crap right now talking
hearing about
Miralax.
It. Okay. Cause it tastes like you drink Miralax and you're like, is this shit that I'm drinking? It feels like you've cut out the middleman. It tastes
so
bad.
Gross.
So you can add something like lemon juice to it, apple juice
to
it.
You added Sprite.
I added Sprite. Don't do that. I'll never drink Sprite again.
Everybody said don't do that.
Never. I'll never do it. The carbonation, it fills you up.
It was funny because as you opened the carbonated 7-Up.
And it exploded.
I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody using 7-Up. She must have done a bunch of research.
No.
Because this is like, she's doing something with the carbonation.
It was the harbinger of explosions to come, I will tell you. So that happens. And then it says, at 9 o'clock, you're supposed to do the whole thing all over again.
Uh-huh.
So at 9 o'clock, and I hadn't gone. I had 32 ounces, and they say, stay well hydrated. I had 32 ounces of Miralax in me. I'm drinking ice water with lemon, just trying to
Are you getting any rumble in the Bronx at this point?
I had a one-man band going in my belly, but nothing is coming out. So at 9 o'clock, two more Dulcolax.
Oh, boy.
1 hour later, I got to start the Miralax again. So I'm like,
another 32 ounces?
Another 32 ounces.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you what happened.
Oh, no.
We
haven't even gotten to this part yet, y'all.
This is phase one that's supposed to be easier. Like, this is one way to do your cleanse that's supposed to be easier. They say if stuff isn't coming out, you take calcium citrate.
Oh,
Which is
it's a laxative.
A bullet train. Okay.
Yeah. And don't take that or magnesium because you think it's going to help like your hair growth. Make sure you read the bottle.
I took
magnesium one time.
Oh, I think
magnesium citrate.
That's the one.
And
that's the one I was supposed to take.
I was like in the middle of like a TJ Maxx being like,
okay.
Do I need to ask for a bag?
So you can do that and you can skip all of this. You can just do that one. So, and then you just have to make sure that you're drinking lots of water to like flush everything out. So back to 10 PM, I start with my first 8 ounces of Miralax and I go, Britt, I don't think I can do this. I've already had the sweats. I've already been laying on the bathroom floor going, when is shit literally coming out? Yes. Nothing.
Still nothing at 10 o'clock at night?
I was so nauseous and I was so uncomfortable. And I go, Britt, will you go get me a bowl? I'm laying in bed. I can't stand up. I'm so nauseous. I go, will you go get me a bowl? He goes, yes. And I'm like, come on, give myself this pep talk. You can do this. I go for my second 8 ounces, throw it back up into the glass, into the bowl. I fill the entire like salad
with
bowl
barf?
With barf. And it's
all. I would just like everybody to know she's not going to use that bowl again, right? No,
well,
when you grow up in the 80s, there's one bowl. It's for popcorn and for barf.
This one I got to get rid of because it's plastic. And I feel like whatever was in me ate through the plastic seal because it was like nuclear. Yeah, trigger warning. If you have a really active peristaltic response, you don't want to listen to this episode.
What's that? Gag reflex?
Gag reflex, yeah. He's like, for 4 hours that was in there. It's got to be enough. So I set my alarm for 5 a.m. because it says if it's not.
You still haven't pooped at this point?
I have not pooped
at this geez,
point.
Oh, geez, Jen.
But I was really sure that when I barfed, it would like work everything out like in a violent way. Yeah. So I set my alarm for 5 a.m. because you have to take the other bottle of whatever magnesium or whatever it is, citrate. You are supposed to drink that if you haven't started the poop process 3 to 4 hours before your appointment. So 5 a.m., I haven't gone. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, no.
And you know what, Krista? I didn't think it was that bad to drink it. Also, schedule it near your house. I didn't think about that.
I do have it scheduled near my
house. Okay, good. Because I didn't think of that. And I could have been stuck in traffic for an hour and a half, and I might not have made it.
No, and somebody told me to wear an adult diaper. And I'm like, look, we've already established that this is...
Yeah.
I'm not... I have no dignity left. Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll wear one of those. If that means I'm not going to crap my pants.
I looked at my husband, like, after the bowl thing happened, and I was like, we are married, and I want you to remember that I did this with you, and I have not brought it up. So let's just act like I'm a beautiful, sexy model. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that this never happens.
Everybody poops, Jen. Everybody. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that. You talking openly about it makes it funny and less scary.
I don't give two shits. I gave way more than that. You gave way more. Words of wisdom too for all the internet trolls and hate comments that you might get. What the internet allows you is the last word. You can go on anybody's page and you can say something crappy, which I think is the equivalent of writing like you did a bad parking job and then leaving that shitty note on somebody's like windshield and not signing it. Like it's not fair that you get to come at me and I can't clap back.
I always say, when we teach our kids how to be good people and what we say, what that really means is sometimes you have to turn the other cheek when what you want to do is just dial in.
I do have one. I was thinking I could do a dramatic reading of one one message that I ended up deleting.
Oh, I had to delete one too. I like when Sarah said something rude about how nobody cares about Travis and Taylor and that this is dumb news. By the way, we're really burying the lead here because the number of positive comments we get is 10 to 1.
Oh my God, it's so many.
It is so many. And those delightful comments about Taylor and Travis, like comments like, seeing them get engaged makes me think about when I got engaged. It makes me love my husband more. Or like, oh my gosh, this is like, my daughter's so excited. We had cupcakes.
Yes.
Okay, man. It's just a little more joy.
Yeah.
Can't we all just enjoy a little bit of that?
It is going to begin with being less angry. Like, fucking calm down before that you doesn't say mean something. Care less. No.
And that doesn't mean get involved less. And that doesn't mean don't take a stand.
Absolutely.
But you don't have to be angry about it.
Yeah.
And that the anger is what is separating us. It is the thing that is stopping us from forward progress, is that nobody can just be a little bit reasonable. And I do believe that's because we are inflamed, because we are typewriter warriors. We're keyboard.
Yes.
How old am I? We're keyboard warriors.
We're typewriter.
We're typewriter.
We're word processor warriors.
Well, you know what? If we were typewriter warriors, there would be less hurt feelings because You have to fucking deliver that
message. That's right. And you had to use whiteout involved.
Yeah.
I would get on the phone, a fiche machine, and check out what the latest news was. And then I would get angry and I would just
type away.
I would use a telegraph machine to send some angry words.
Hello. Word. Full stop. Am
you naive, woman? I do think that like part of the reason we're a good team of comedy and part of the reason that like we both gravitate towards comedy in life, you know, is that like Kristen is an incredibly introspective person. Like,
believe it or not, I know I don't seem like it.
She's a worrier. Like, she processes things like a lot, like thinks about it. And are you doing the right thing? Are you saying the right thing? Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
it sucks.
Yeah. And I am a shy person. So like putting yourself out there is hard in different ways for us. Cause I am, even though I'm shy, I'm a little bit faster to tell somebody to fuck off.
Yeah. I just am automatically assuming I did something wrong. Then I break it down and then I'm like, no, they were the dick.
Also, don't neglect your health and get your hormones checked.
It was shocking to me not only to learn about like all the hormone stuff, the endocrine system, Jesus, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I didn't know about like how we've sort of taught women that like, well, this is just part of life and you're supposed to suffer. The fuck it is. You are not. You do not have to. The second you start to like unfold the research, you start going, how come nobody told me about this? We are going to tell you about this. We are going to tell you that at 35, you are going to experience hormone changes that might not even seem like anything to you.
Or earlier, like if you
even
do,
earlier.
If you have like cysts, like polyovarian cysts and stuff, you can start, like there's a lot of things that can make you go into perimenopause like early.
The endocrine system is so interesting, but the second there is an absence of some of those hormones, it causes depletion of your skeleton. I think the thing that's good is A, you are proactive about your own women's health, but more than that is it's not just about like what happens on the outside, it's what happens on the inside. And if you get in front of perimenopause and you start talking to your doctor early, you have such a better battle against osteoporosis and heart disease. And I know everyone's like, eye roll, I don't want to hear about this. But if you read the statistics about what those numbers are for us as women, it's staggering. And if you wait too long to get your hormones balanced or to get on hormone replacement, you actually start depleting so fast that it's really scary. So I'm really happy that you guys, like, get in front of it. Who cares? It's like getting your oil changed in your car.
So I understand now too that you had said, I think the IUD is a benefit. Here is the benefit that I did not realize until I was talking to my doctor about it. The IUD that I have has progesterone in it, which is something that they will substitute. So I was talking to my friend, my neighbor, she goes, during COVID, I was like really mad, but everybody was. So I didn't notice anything and I didn't have any like difference with my period because I hadn't gotten in so long because of my IUD and it's the progesterone one. So she said she went and she had to go in there and go, do this. I want this done. And just so you know, I'm going to get it done outside of here if you guys can't make it happen.
Right.
So she said the nurse like pulled whatever string she could to get all the testing. She goes, I know something is off with me, which she's a nurse. So she was like really proactive and knew the right things to say about it. But like she said, because you have the IUD, you're going to miss a lot of symptoms or you're not going to have some of those symptoms.
Which is also one of the appealing parts of having the IUD is like that if it would make that course not so intense, but you could misread.
You can. You totally can. But I do think
I'm no doctor. I'm just saying, when you have a goatee like me, the symptoms come on strong.
Well,
they're hard to miss.
He said to me too, my doctor was like, we normally don't test testosterone unless we think you might have a thyroid thing, like PCOS or something like that. Or he's like,
can't tell you how many people have asked me if I've had PCOS or tested me. My doctor was like, I don't know many women that have your level of testosterone that don't have it I don't have it. I'm just a dude chick.
That's
I don't
my
know
other
how to
friend.
Explain
I'm
it.
Attracted to you ladies because she has high testosterone too for a female.
Laura does?
Yeah, because she works out so much too, I think.
Same.
Is See? Muscular people, you know, like gets your testosterone going. So like, yeah. So she was looking into getting that. I hope it's okay I'm talking about this, Laura. I won't use your last name or address or anything like that. They won't give you estrogen without progesterone.
Yeah,
they have to do them together. So if you have the progesterone IUD, all they have to give you is estrogen. Which, by the way, mine's totally covered. 3 months worth.
Great.
3 months worth is $500 if you're paying out of pocket, and it was $90.
That's what mine is, too, because I went to the patches. Look, I'm like the race car things where they go into the pit, and they're like...
Yeah.
I get my car, my tires switched, my patches replaced, my creams, my rubs. Sometimes I tried the pellets. I decided not to do those because the whole thing made me want to barf a little bit, but I might go back. Those are out of pocket. But like everything is covered to a degree. I still think you should be able to go into a bathroom and be like, condom, tampon, pad, estrogen, hormone replacement therapy, and a fucking compliment. And all of those should be zero money. Well, that's what I think. We should just be concerned about women's health, period. Here's to healthier hormones.
Fewer haters.
Better daters.
That's right. And healthy colons. Shiny colons.
Shiny colons. And healthy hotties.
Yeah. Travis Taylor. You know, I just always got to throw that Lordy. In. Just look, like, follow us, subscribe to the podcast, and we'll see you next year.
Bye, bestie.
Pioneer.